NHL insider Chris Johnston jumps on the fly here. Chris, thanks for jumping on. Just out of the blue, a front office shakeup for the Maple Leafs. Did we hear any rumblings about this heading into today?
Well, it's funny, especially around July 1st, when obviously I was phoning around to a lot of agents and things, pursuing where the signings would fall. A few of them had mentioned that they'd heard rumblings of a Leafs front office shakeup, but despite that, I don't think it's entirely surprising to see Claude Loisel and Dave Poulin move on, but certainly I would never have guessed that Kyle Dubas would be the next guy that would, sort of step into the role that they were filling as the assistant GM to Dave Nonis. Excuse me, guys. And really, I mean, it's a pretty massive change in direction for this organization, and quite a compelling move, I would say.
What do you know about Dubas?
Well, I've been aware of his presence, like many on Twitter, and obviously took note of it. I think he was 25 when the Sioux Greyhounds hired him as GM, which in itself was fairly notable at the time. But, I don't know him personally, but certainly, what we do know about him is that he is one of the more sort of advanced thinkers in terms of, some of the stats that have come into vogue, around hockey. And one thing we can say about the Leafs' previous regime was that they were not. I can't help but think of a day with Dave Nonis last November. There was a management conference here in Toronto, and he spoke to myself and a couple other reporters about how the Leafs had a budget for a number of years, basically for advanced stats, and that they'd yet to find any way to put it to use, essentially, that they'd heard presentations from a number of people but didn't see value in any of the pitches they saw. And quite clearly we're a long way from that now, just less than a year later, after a disastrous season for the Leafs possession-wise. I think that this will be the start of some big changes within the organization.
Now, Chris, how do you properly say his last name? Is it Dubas? Is it Dubay? Kyle what? Sorry.
I think it's Dubas, but I can't proclaim to be the expert on that. We'll have to check with the Leafs a little later.
I'm going to go Dubas with you as well. Well, you talked about how he was 25 years old and hired as the GM of the Sioux Greyhounds, and itself, as you mentioned, was unbelievable. How did he get to that point, just being 25 and being a GM of a Canadian Hockey League team?
Well, he grew up in Sault Ste. Marie, and I believe it was his grandfather that had ties to the team. And I think he basically spent his life around the Greyhounds. And he'd also spent time prior to that working with a player agent. And I think he'd sort of started to make a name for himself in the industry. And, again, from what I know, without certainly being an expert on, his background, is one of the things he did with the Greyhounds is that he ran the team almost entirely based on metrics and numbers. And, there's kind of this great divide happening in the game. I'm sure, the hardcore hockey fans are aware of it, but, hockey for many years has kind of been a bit of an old school culture, I would say, just around the sport in general, and a lot of value placed in things like character, things like going out and watching games. And it's only been recently now that a lot of these numbers of measuring possession and the value of players have started to slowly creep in to some of the decision-making, and I think some people have been slow to adopt it. But clearly the Leafs now, I mean, I know he's just the assistant general manager, and it's going to take a little time for him to put his imprint on things here, but I think it signals that the Leafs are going to take a lot more interest in some of the possession numbers and other things that are out there now.
Now we're hearing that the pronunciation of the last name is Dubas, but stay tuned for more on that. I'm sure that'll change.
Is that from a reliable source? Because I don't want to keep saying it the wrong way on radio.
It is from a reliable source, okay. Yes. Sam Cosentino. So, hey, if you don't feel that Sam Cosentino is a reliable source, then call him something else.
I am not going to question Sam, even though he's stuck in junior hockey.
So, it sounds to me, based on your explanation and reasoning of this hiring, at least as how you see it, is that Loisel, it's not as if Loisel and Poulin did anything to land them in hot water or have them out of a job at this point, that perhaps this was just a change in thinking, a change in philosophy and how the structure of the front office should look and what the makeup of the front office should look like. And maybe those two in Loisel and Poulin just didn't fit the bill or just didn't bring what someone else would bring, in this case, Dubas.
Well, they're taking the fall a little bit for an underachieving team. I think it clearly can't place it squarely on their shoulders, but both guys were here a number of years. They were brought in originally by Brian Burke under the previous regime, and it's only normal when you have a change at the top, as the Leafs have by hiring Brendan Shanahan earlier in the spring, that you'll see changes within the front office. And, you know, I don't think we can look at these two guys and say they're the sole reason this organization is still kind of mired in the mud, but they're certainly a part of it. And you know, I think that everyone is kind of wearing that. I mean, we've already seen the Leafs fire their assistant coaches. I know Randy Carlyle was extended, but, you know, it's not a stretch to suggest this is a big season for him in terms of, you know, trying to hold on to his job here in Toronto. And I think even down to the players now, you know, there's a little bit less allegiance to some of the guys, even the ones signed long-term. Once you make a change of this nature, that more changes could come. And you know, I really do think it's the first sort of sign of Brendan Shanahan putting a clear stamp on the organization. And again, I just see it, I'm sure, as one of many changes still to come.
Chris, do you find that out of all the four big sports, that maybe hockey has been a little behind this whole metrics craze, and that the Maple Leafs see it now that maybe this is the way to go, and not having the old guard of guys who played in the league for years and years and years, and obviously you can't put a price on experience, but do you see finally hockey as a whole maybe going this route that all the other sports have kind of been already heading towards for a while now?
Yeah, it's pretty clear that hockey in general is going this direction. I mean, we've seen a number of teams hire basically analytics-type people. I mean, they're called different things in each organization, but I think they're all there to do the same job. And one of the reasons, you know, hockey has maybe been a little slower to adapt is I don't think that people found that the numbers, certainly, I mean, baseball is a game that lends itself just by its nature more to being measured by numbers. And I think that it's taken some time maybe for some of these numbers to be developed. And then, you know, after they have been, which, you know, isn't exactly a new phenomenon, but to convince people of their value, I think it's taken a little bit of time. But I mean, it's pretty clear now. I mean, we can almost stop calling them advanced statistics because, for one, they're not really that advanced, you know, once you take some time to learn them, which I have specifically in the last year. And, you know, what's interesting for me about the Leafs in general is that, you know, back in October when they ran up a good record, and even throughout the year when things were going okay, you know, the advanced stat community was pointing out a lot of the Leafs' flaws, and Leafs sort of thought that they could outrun their flaws, I guess, by having, you know, some sharp shooting forwards, and they were getting great goaltending for a lot of the year from Jonathan Bernier, which helped them, you know, maybe patch over some of those things. But, you know, now it's essentially they were dismissing some of the criticisms against them because they were winning games despite being a good possession team. And now, you know, to me, this is a beginning of an acknowledgement that things have to change on that front. And not only are they not dismissing it, their peers are going to welcome, you know, some of that way of building a team. And, you know, it'll be interesting to see what that means for the roster here moving forward.